You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour two of Miller and Moulton on. It's the final Monday in March. It's the final week of March, just like that. I don't know. It seems like the month's flying by. It seems like the year is moving right along. Major League Baseball season gets underway in earnest on Thursday. The madness resumes on Thursday on the men's side. You got eight women's games today and tonight, including a whole bunch of star power for those of you that have gotten into women's hoops a little bit this year, probably because of Caitlin Clark. She plays at 8 o'clock. And isn't this her final home game? Isn't this like her last game in her home barn? Then don't they move to either Portland or Albany or wherever the heck they send them?
Yes, this will be it in Iowa.
So this will be emotional. I mean, if you think about it. I mean, you know, you're from Iowa, played all those years in Iowa. It's your final game at home. All right, it'll be emotional. Did you see your dad the first round game? Because you could tell she was nervous. She was, and now, I mean, she argues about calls as it is. But she was, like, in the first quarter on a rampage. I mean, she easily could have been teed up. She was so just out of it. And they go to a cutaway of her dad, and her dad's like, calm down. Stop yelling at everybody.
Well, I saw her in the post game when she was interviewed. She goes, yes, I could have smiled more. I get it. I'm very competitive. I mean, I like that we demand smiles out of her that we don't demand out of male athletes. I find it hysterical.
Right. Not everybody can be magic, okay?
No, as a matter of fact, very few can.
Exactly. As a player and as a personality, right. So anyway, you got that going on. But, hey, are you into the whole scorekeeping? Like, you know, Big East, 6-0, ACC, 8-1. You care about that stuff in the tournament?
I do. I mean, I think it goes to show where the committee made mistakes.
Okay. Pac-12, 6-3, final year of them. Big Ten, 6-4. Big 12, 7-6. SEC, 5-6, started 1-5. Thank you very much. And then A&M, Bama, and Tennessee with some wins, and then throw in a, you know, little Bama and Tennessee moving through. And see, to me, it's not so much the records. It's how did they do by seeding? Like, I wish they put in parenthesis what by seeding the committee thought their record would be. Like, the Big East is 6-0. Yeah, they got three teams in the tournament. One's a 1, one's a 2, one's a 3. I mean, they're supposed to be 6-0. Now, you know, they're supposed to win 2, lose 1. If you know what I mean.
The right, ACC, like, I think the Big Ten did exactly what it was supposed to do with the exception of Nebraska losing to A&M. No, Wisconsin lost too. So they had a couple of bad losses, but for the most part, they weren't supposed to do anything.
Well, and really, I would just say the Wisconsin one, because if you lose an 8-9 game, it's tough to really hold that. I mean, come on. If they had seeded A&M the 8 and Nebraska the 9, I mean, you know, would we be yelling about seeding?
No, here? But it's a toss-up game, David. I'm not really doing it from a seeding standpoint, but you can't take credit for Michigan State winning as a 9 if sure. you're gonna give Nebraska a hard time for losing, not give Nebraska a little grief. That's all.
Make a dadgum good point there. Coach Bowden, you do. So there you go. That's the highlights. You know, Mountain West, man, if it's not San Diego State, if I was in that tournament committee next year, I'd be like, just for the record, in the last 5 NCAA tournaments, you know how many games the Mountain West has won from teams that aren't San Diego State? Yeah, 3. Okay? 3.
Mountain West commissioners going there. Hey, do you know how many games San Diego State's lost that they haven't played UConn? That would be none.
Right. So, you know, Big 12, I don't know, a little overrated maybe by how they did in the tournament. Yeah, that's possible. I mean, you know, how many teams do they have left? One, two? Out of all the bids they got?
Two.
So we got four ACC, three Big East, two Big 12, two Big 10, two SEC, one Pac-12, one Mountain West, one West Coast Conference. So San Diego State and the Zags are the bottom two there. Everybody else who's remaining is from a quote-unquote power conference, and you could consider those two, Gonzaga and San Diego State, power programs. So that's why, I mean, we don't have, you know, it's tough for me. You may consider them, and I don't just mean you, Mark. I mean you, the listener. You may consider NC State because of their story. Like, I think last week they were a Cinderella. And by last week, I mean really 2 weeks ago in the ACC tournament. That, to me, was a Cinderella. You know, they played a 6 and a 14 seed to get to the Sweet 16. They're an ACC school. I don't consider that a Cinderella run. Now, they beat Marquette. They go back to being Cinderella, at least in my world, for whatever the heck that means. But I just think we are devoid of a Cinderella, I feel, going forward. At the beginning of the Sweet 16, it's just hoop.
And I will argue that that's a really good thing for college basketball. You're going to see the best teams playing one another. You're going to see really good matchups here over the course of the next week.
We need a poll question. And I'm trying to think, what can we ask in and around the tournament? I mean, how many Final Four teams do you still have left? I mean, you know, what can we do for a poll question here about the tournament? I mean, do you want to ask the question again? I give you UConn, Houston, Purdue, or the field. Who would you take? Houston needed overtime to win last night. Just saying.
How? I have no idea. And if A&M could have made any free throws, they would have won the damn game.
Uh-huh. It's funny when you're down 12 with 2 minutes to go, and yet people are yelling at you that you guys blew it. Wait a minute. We were down 12 with 2 minutes to go. We forced overtime against, like, top three team in the country.
No, I understand, but what did they shoot from the line?
Yeah, they were terrible.
I mean, I at one point they were 50% from the line, and they had 26 free throws. I don't know what the final stats ended up, but they were lousy.
Mm-hmm. Boy, those suckers do add up, don't they? All those late game situations, the significance of one missed free throw, whether the lead is two or three, whether the lead is three or four.
They took 45 free throws. They were 29 of 45 from the line.
Yeah, that's not good. That's like, what, 65%, something like that?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just amazing.
Boy, that was an aesthetically pleasing game. It's tough to have an aesthetically pleasing game with Houston on the floor. Man, oh, man. Big Ten teams watch Houston play and go, man, they're physical. And I'm talking Big Ten football teams watch Houston play basketball and go, man, they're physical.
Iowa says they play defense.
Right. So that's it. That's really all I got. You know, those two suggestions for a poll question. I mean, you know, if you want to ask people, you know, how they doing on their bracket, this way we don't have to hear. It's like hearing about someone's fantasy football team. No one else wants to hear about your fantasy football team. We don't want to hear about your bracket. But you could just give us maybe a thumbnail sketch, you know.
The only other thing is, do you need a Cinderella for the tournament to be good in your eyes? That was, you know, with no true Cinderella left, is this a good tournament in your eyes?
Ooh, I like that. With no true Cinderella left, is your interest in the tournament, you know, the same, better, or worse going forward? Okay.
Because the only problem with this tournament, now UConn can play any style of basketball that you want. They can play, they play stifling defense, but obviously they can score 100 points. So they're a complete team. But you look at, you know, Iowa State's still around. They're a tough watch. Houston can be a tough watch. I mean, there are some teams that you really, I would rather see out so we see a different type of basketball. But you are a big styles make a fight. Iowa State against UConn could be really interesting.
Could be. I think your point of UConn would look across at Iowa State and go, even if we play this game on your terms, we're still going to beat you by 10. And God forbid we play this game on our terms. I'm just saying. I've got the days and the times for the games for Thursday and Friday. I saved them somewhere. That North Carolina-Alabama game, that's, it's a late game. It's in L.A. It's going to tip off at close to 10 o'clock Thursday night.
Defta.
But Alabama-North Carolina, I mean, the Lakers and the Pacers played a 150-145 game last night. These two teams would prefer to play that way. And I don't think either coach will rein them in, if you know what I mean.
No, and Alabama just had their offensive clunker, if you will.
Right.
Even though they won.
Uh-huh. I mean, that is one in which I could be pretty tired Friday doing the show. I'm just saying. That's going to tip right around 9:45, 10 o'clock Thursday night. And that could be, for the, I mean, that could be Tarkanian, Larry Johnson. That could be UNLV back in the day. Only from both teams.
Yeah, and that could be, that could be 180 in regulation.
Yeah, it really could. I mean, come on, look at the games Alabama played in the SEC this year. I mean, look at the games against Florida and how high-scoring those games were. Now imagine it's Alabama and North Carolina. Miller and Moulton.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Shane McNichol will join us next hour. Get his thoughts on the first weekend of the college basketball tournament as we head to the Sweet 16 beginning Thursday evening. Going to be a busy sports week. We got more women's college hoop tonight with the stars in action, if you will, including Caitlin Clark at 8 o'clock tonight. Major League Baseball season gets underway in earnest on Thursday. Ohtani's presser later today. This is a big story. Let me just ask both of you. If he paid off his buddy's gambling debts and none of the debts were on baseball, if you're Major League Baseball, what can you do to Ohtani?
Not a dang thing, I don't think. It technically, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Are you sure?
It's not, if you're not betting on baseball.
Basically, it's basically in every clubhouse says you can't gamble on baseball. Does it say you can't gamble, period?
It doesn't say you can't gamble, period. I mean, even Pete Rose in the late 70s and early 80s, I mean, he openly talked about all the gambling that he did. Racetracks, betting the NFL. I mean, Mark, you and I were laughing when this Ohtani story broke last week. I think it was during a commercial break, so you had to catch us on our Twitch channel. But we were laughing. I mean, Pete Rose was the guest analyst on the NFL Today. I think it's like 1980. I mean, he filled in for Jimmy the Greek and picked the games and even made a few gambling references on the NFL Today over 40 years ago. But I'm just asking you, Mark, gut feeling, you're Manfred.
I wouldn't do a damn thing.
Okay.
I don't know if baseball is going to react that way.
Now, what if it's Ohtani doing the gambling? None of it on baseball. Does that change the story at all? Now, there's a legality part of it, okay? It's illegal in Florida, or excuse me, in California. So he could be, or anybody in the story could be in trouble with the law. But, I mean, do we really think anything serious is going to happen to anyone here over sports gambling? Does it change it at all to you if you're Rob Manfred?
Yes, it changes it immensely to me because it's a $4.5 million debt that, you know, he was gambling with a bookie. He wasn't gambling in Vegas.
Right.
And the last thing you want is to have a bookie have an edge on some, have it on your player. Mm-hmm. Because then right. What happens? You're down $4.5 million. Are you subject to perhaps throwing a game for them?
Okay, so if he paid off his buddy's gambling debts and there's no evidence of him gambling, if you're Manfred, you do nothing, it's unseemly, but you just let it go.
I would.
Okay.
Would you?
Yeah. Because I don't see how you can penalize somebody for paying off their buddy's debts. Honestly, I don't. I seriously? I mean, what? I'm going to suspend you. Why? Well, you paid off your buddy's gambling debts. Yeah, he was my buddy.
That's the thing. If you remove the whole sports aspect of it and it's just two guys, two Joe Schmoes, guy helps out his buddy, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, yeah.
Who helps out their buddy at the tune of $4.5 million?
I know.
I mean, who on God's green earth?
No, that's why I said you got to take out the whole superstar factor and the magnitude of it, but just on its face, a buddy helping his buddy pay off his debts. That happens all the time, I'm sure.
Happens all the time?
Not that much money, but yeah.
Mark, let's just say you've got Ohtani money. And for the record, remember, he's making $2 million a year for the next 10 years. $68 million of it's deferred. He ain't getting that money till next decade. So, I mean, the money he's making is all endorsements. Now, I mean, we think he's making over $50 million a year in endorsements. But just realize he's damn near playing for free. California taxes and what have you. I'm telling you, I don't even know if he's making his mortgage payment, okay, on what he's making playing for the Dodgers. But anyway, Mark, you're Ohtani, okay? We're friends. We're pretty good friends, okay? We trust each other with a lot of things. I think you could say, Moulton's my buddy, right? Am I your buddy? I mean, think my relationship to you is what Ohtani did with his interpreter. I mean, the guy's been, you know, attached to his hip. Well, come on. We've done nearly 20 years of radio.
For the fact I've once testified in a court of law that I was somebody's buddy. When you're saying that, I'm about to fall over laughing.
Really?
A buddy of mine in college got a ticket. He had gotten a bigger ticket a couple years prior.
Okay.
And if he got another ticket, his dad was going to kill him. And I mean kill him.
Gotcha.
And so he got a ticket for running a stop sign. So his mom hires a lawyer, friend of the right. family, to fight this running a stop sign ticket just so dad doesn't find out about the ticket. And I had to go with him and answer questions. And when the prosecutor came up, so are you two friends? Yeah. Would you say he's your buddy? Yes, I would.
Under oath.
Under oath.
He's my buddy.
He's my buddy.
All right.
So you just say, asking me, so you guys are, I'm just looking at Manfred. So you guys were buddies.
Yes, Rob.
Yes, Rob, we were.
We're buddies. All right. I got a few questions for you. I think we've established that technically I'm your buddy. All right. How far can I take this is what I want to know.
I don't think you can take a buddy for $4.5 million.
Well, it depends, though. It's, everything's relative. We'll get to it. If you have Ohtani money, you know, I think, once again, it depends how much of a buddy is he. Now, my wife doesn't want to hear this, but if I had that kind of money, there are a few people in my life that if they called me, I'll make it go away. I would. But that's me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a big number.
It is.
That's a big nut, as they say, right there to cover.
But it's like your buddy.
Right. Like Aikman and I are friendly. I can't call him for $4.5 million. We're not buddies. We're friendly. I think he likes me. Okay. He checks in every month. How am I doing? You know, during the season, we talk all the time. I can't call him for $4.5 million.
If you do, can we try it on air?
Now, I can call Danielson for the $4.5 million. He'll say no, but we're enough of a buddy where I can call him.
Right, and he would say no.
Oh, he would definitely say no, but I would not feel out of line calling him. I think I'm a good enough buddy that I can make the call. He's a good enough buddy. He can say no. Right.
I don't know where Trent lands on the buddy status right now, but he does take care of our Molly Maid play of the day. Trent, you're under the gun. What do you have for us?
This came from a little bit of a chalky game, but the one seed did have to work for it. Houston Cougars taking on 9-seed Texas A&M. The Aggies gave the Cougs all they could handle. Houston's up 3, 1.2 seconds, and the Aggies have a baseline out-of-bounds play. An unusual suspect, the hero.
Roberts fronts. Radford calls the break. No timeouts. Bounce in. Up top, Garcia for 3. Got it! Anderson Garcia, his 9th made 3 of the year, forges an 86-all tie. The red light is on. We'll have overtime.
Just like Buzz Williams drew it up. Shout out to John Sadak on the call for Westwood 1. There's your Molly Maid play of the day.
239-774-5839. That's 239-774-5839 for Molly Maid. Give your spouse the gift of a clean house.
Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes before the hour. Shane McNichol. Talk the NCAA tournament 1 hour from now. Can we go back to this buddy thing? So Ohtani's buddy, who was also his interpreter, he's involved in this gambling scandal. And ESPN's got evidence of 2 checks, each for $500,000, signed by Ohtani, to pay off some of this guy's gambling debts. Ohtani's going to speak to the media today. It will be interesting what he has to say, needless to say. But let's get back to, let's just say he paid off his buddy's gambling debts. If you had Shohei Ohtani money, and one of your 3 best buddies in the world called you up. Now, there's also allegations, you know, Ohtani's people now claiming he stole the money from Ohtani, and, you know, that can get into the whole thing. If you had Ohtani money, how much money would have to disappear before you'd realize it? I mean, we could do that one as well. Let's just stick with the buddy thing for now. You've got Ohtani money, Mark.
Right.
Your 3 best buddies in the world, any of the 3, they call you up. How much money would you be like, all right?
No, if my 3 best buddies, without question, I would take care of their debts. I would, if I had that kind of money. Here's my problem. How did interpreter go from being hired help to being one of his 3 best buddies in the world? I mean, that's a lot of trust that Ohtani has for this guy.
Well, but see, All you have to do, we talked about this last week. There have not been a ton of lengthy feature stories on Ohtani. He's not agreed to sit down and cooperate with them. But for the last, how many years was he with the Angels? Five, six, seven? All right, that the story was, I mean, this guy went everywhere with him. He walked in from the bullpen with him. You know, he was his interpreter. I mean, if they could have brought him on the field, they would have, is what they joked about. This guy went everywhere with him. The story was, he's his guy. So, I mean, I'll be very curious this afternoon if all of a sudden Ohtani tries to make it out to be an employee-employer relationship.
I'm fascinated by what Ohtani says today. I really am, David, because without the sit-down, that the interpreter did with ESPN, Ohtani could say whatever he wants, and we are going to be more likely to believe it than after the sit-down in which the interpreter said he paid off all of my debt. He was well aware of what it was. I didn't bet on baseball, and he paid it off.
Right. And the interpreter, by the way, has never implicated Ohtani. He said, no. He doesn't drink. He doesn't gamble. See, this is the other thing that works against Ohtani. What's the story been? Now, we all know there are false narratives. And remember, Tiger Woods, I mean, come on now. And I know this upsets people every time I bring this up because, you know, oh, if you say something bad against Tiger. But remember what the narrative was for 15 years about Tiger Woods. I mean, he was the greatest living human being in the world, is what he was. And he was also the greatest golfer of all time. I mean, that really was the narrative that was pushed. And then it turns out, half of that's not true at all.
And I got a text from a friend of mine, dare I say a buddy, during the last commercial break that just said MLB has to make this Ohtani thing go away. There are too many forces now digging into this Ohtani thing to just make it go away. It's not 1972.
This ain't going away. If anything, if I'm Major League Baseball, we got to get to the bottom of this as quickly as possible. If I was Major League Baseball, I'd look at Ohtani and say, listen, did you gamble on baseball? If you didn't, then there's nothing that you've done here that's going to jeopardize your career long term. Your reputation, maybe. Your image takes a small hit. Trust me. Hit 40 homers, lead the Dodgers to a World Series. Please. This will never be brought up again. But literally, if I'm Major League Baseball, it's like, listen, if you didn't bet on baseball, there's nothing here that we can't take care of and take care of quickly. But we got to know the story. And by the way, think of us as the FBI. Don't lie to us. Because if you really want to get in trouble with us, bet on baseball or lie to us. Because I can suspend you a year just for lying to me. Don't think I can't do it.
But that gets then to the other point, that the last thing in the world Major League Baseball wants to do is suspend Shohei Ohtani for a nanosecond.
Exactly. Not even a series. Right. Right. How much money would your wife have to snarf out of an account for you to notice that she's, hey, I think somebody snarfed some money out of my account?
For me, she'd have to drain it completely dry because I don't pay it. That's her job. If I took 14 cents out of one of her accounts, she would know the minute it was gone, and she would be, there would be the Spanish Inquisition in our kitchen.
But if she did it to you, you'd wake up one day and go, wait, I got nothing?
It would be the next time I opened up the app. I'd be like, what the hell happened to my money?
Some insufficient funds? What the? Since I've had my identity stolen, I check twice a day. I really do. I'm I balance the checkbook to the penny. I check. I'm on the banking app 2-3 times a day.
And you know every time that your wife takes money out of your account.
Uh-huh.
You get alerts, don't you?
No, I don't. No, because I enjoy the little back and forth. She'll say, I wait to see how long it takes until she tells me. Hey, I took $100 out of the account. I said, oh, yeah, I know.
Does she ever throw it back at you to try to turn it around when you say, I know?
No, she's you in our relationship. Okay, she doesn't pay attention. Okay? She's like, the stress of it is what she says. She goes, no, you got to handle that. And I'm fine with that. That works.
$4.5 million.
$4.5 million, right. And now Otani's going to claim, that's the story that his people came out with on Wednesday in Korea. His story was, no, we didn't pay it off. This is a, you know, we want him prosecuted. He stole the money from us.
Because apparently Otani leaves a handful of checks that are already signed in the desk drawer in case of emergency.
Apparently so.
Or this interpreter completely has figured out how to sign.
Well, that's it. Right.
I'm being serious here for just a half a second because I find this fascinating and funny all at the same time. Unless Shohei had checks pre-signed in the desk drawer, or unless this guy was able to forge his signature perfectly, what are the other stories he can say for the two checks?
Well, let me ask you, in this day and age where there are very few checks written, do you have to, how accurate do you have to be with someone's signature? I mean, think about it. You owe me $4.5 million. You hand me a check. Okay. You tell me it's, you know, Otani's taking care of it. Do I look at the signature? Do I care? Does the bank care? If that account has the money in it and I cash that, is anybody looking at the signature going, that is not Otani?
Now we'll find out it was a Zelle transfer and he confiscated Shohei's phone. And I mean, there's only two or three plausible reasons how money could get from account A to account B without the guy who owns the account knowing.
Here's the question.
I mean, for this to be theft, David, aren't there only two or three ways that it's possible?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And I mean, you know, Mark, that's with, 200 episodes of Law and Order and about 100 episodes of Chicago PD under my belt. I mean, I think I'm damn near a legal expert on this. I could be a talking head on a show here, I think, coming up soon. What's your expertise? 20-something years of Law and Order. Hello? But I just have one question. Mark, do you ever gamble with a guy?
Yeah.
I've gambled with a guy. Notice we're not going to ask Trent. Okay, so his family listens. He's young.
He came from Michigan, where gambling's been legal longer than it has been in Florida. So most of his adult life, gambling has been legal in the states he's lived.
Okay, so with that trend, have you ever made a bet with a guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Your stock went way up with Moulton right there.
Oh, you.
Hang on. Just one more follow-up, David, before you get back to it. Was it your dad's guy?
No.
Okay. I'm done. That's all I wanted to know.
Was it one of your brother's guys?
Yes.
Anyway.
Okay.
There we go. I'll tell you. Okay. One final question and then we get back to the story. Does your brother's girlfriends have a guy?
No, Your Honor. Okay.
So back. All right. So let's just say you're the guy and I'm the interpreter and I'm losing a lot of money and you want to get paid. How do you let the debt reach $4.5 million?
I don't know.
Because let's face it. Anybody know an interpreter who makes that kind of money?
David, does anybody know a guy that'll let that much credit go? I have a friend who gambles pretty hard with a guy. Their number that they settle on is a much larger number than you and I or Trent would ever be comfortable with losing. But they have a number.
Right.
When the debt or the winnings get to X, it is paid. That's how most bookies run that allow credit. Right. $4.5 million is not a number that anybody could get to.
Right. That there's no way that this guy's number was $5 million.
Right.
You know, or $4 million. And at that point, you got to pay up. I mean, and that to me is the part when Ohtani speaks later today. And I understand, in theory, he's not the one that rung up the gambling debts. Okay. But how did this guy ring up these kind of debts if the people didn't know how and who was paying off the debts? That's the problem that I have here.
Well, and given the fact that there were two $500,000 checks, doesn't it make you think that the $500,000 number was the number?
Now, if Ohtani can prove he was stealing the money from me, blame. And see, this also works against Ohtani. Ohtani's preparation in baseball is meticulous. Now, that doesn't mean we all know people who, in one aspect of their life, they are dot the I's, cross the T's, and in another aspect of their life, they're reckless or they don't pay attention at all. So is it possible that Ohtani can be meticulous as an athlete in his preparation and reckless and not pay attention to his finances? Yeah.
It's possible. But David, if you're type A, you're type A.
Correct. Usually. And so that's going to be a tough sell for Ohtani when he says this guy stole the money from me. Yeah, the two things can be true, but are they usually? So
who do you believe? The interpreter? Ohtani?
I love that Major League Baseball said they announced over the weekend they're going to conduct an investigation. Do we think this is going to be, in fact, this could be the poll question. NCAA investigating a college, Major League Baseball investigating Ohtani, which one is taken more seriously?